Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Donald Faison.
And this is Zach Braff from Fake Doctors, Real Friends. We are here to announce the second live version of the podcast. Live show 2, live harder. September 9th, it's a Thursday. It'll be 6 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. And Joelle's going to tell you where you go to buy tickets.
You're just going to go to onlocationlive.com/fakedoctorsrealfriends. We'll see you at the live show. Thanks, guys.
Hey, it's Herbert. Mm-hmm. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
All right, so we met in L.A.
Yeah.
I was on stage doing a show.
Killed it, by the way.
Thanks,
killed
brother.
Killed it.
Thanks, bro. Are you a big comedy fan prior to that? And we've talked about this. Yeah.
We
both grew up on Jim Carrey as a big influence. But, like, as far as stand-up goes, what was, I guess, prior to that show and seeing me, like, do you go to shows live when you get a chance? Or
so that was actually the first live one that I had been to. Just like an open mic type deal, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That was the first one for sure, and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Wasn't an open mic. It was for the.
That's
it
what,
was a big
that's
show.
What I was saying.
A,
yeah. No, dude, I didn't
get to pay for it.
That's how like ignorant I am. I don't even know what it would technically
totally.
Be called.
So an open mic is almost like that's like where young, you know, your first night of comedy that you're trying. You go to a place that's like maybe a little bigger than this. It's got other comics there.
Yeah.
No one's really paying to go to it unless they're just like, oh, they're eating dinner next door and they're like, oh, there's a comedy show. They don't know what the fuck's going on. They stumble in. But it's truly like where you cut your teeth.
Oh, okay.
But you could say, but I think, you know, people refer as any show as like a mic. So you could be, you know, so if you said, yeah, I went to a cool mic the other night.
Nice.
Yeah.
The old mic, and that was actually a pretty cool mic. I recognized just about everybody that was on stage.
You did, right?
Yeah.
So it was the coolest open mic you've ever been to.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
So you, the first live show in L.A. or ever, you said?
No, just in L.A.
Yeah.
I saw Sandler do one of his very intimate ones.
No way. For his special?
For his special on Netflix.
Wow.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
He did it at like a few different, what do you call it?
Venues. Yeah, and strung them all together.
Yeah, that was sweet, though.
What's your...
That was impressive.
Oh, dude, the guy's
like, it was just one after another, because he was just doing, like, mostly songs and having little skits in between, but it was oh, man, and off the charts.
I didn't
for, like, 3 hours straight.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like,
yeah,
I have more. Which one should we do? I'm just like, how many
just
of these
pulling
do
out
you
all
have?
The hits. Yeah, that's a guy, too, that's been doing it for so long, and then he just, you know, got back into it and didn't skip a beat, you know?
No.
You and Jason, your brother, were you guys pretty goofy together growing up? Like, were you...
Oh, man.
Because, you know, I told you I had the, you know, privilege to chat with him, too, and he's... You two together, which is why, you know, we were talking, it's like, man, at some point you guys got to join forces, because getting to know you, it's like, you are this... You got the look of a guy that's like, I will just fucking wink at your girl from across the Applebee's bar and she'll leave you, but you're this big fucking goofball teddy bear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. That's who I really am.
1,000%.
I'm just trying to have some fun, man.
Dude, 1,000%. I mean, on set, we were just goofing the whole time. Like, we ended up going a little late. You were just like, all good. Get whatever you need. And that's not only in a lot of people is like a rare quality, but like, I feel like also when you reach this level, man, it's like, you know, your time's valuable, but it's like, you were just like, hey, man, whatever we got to get, let's get it. I'm here. I'm in it to win it, basically.
Let's have some fun, man.
Dude.
Let's make the best thing we can.
Dude, and Jay felt like he has the same vibes, your brother.
Oh, without a doubt. He's a little bit more like, hey, let's get the ball rolling. He doesn't like to waste any time.
But... Gotcha. But that's a good balance.
Yeah.
Is that how it was growing up?
Yeah, without a doubt. Way more mature. Was in all the AP classes, like all the high... smart kid classes.
Fuck that.
I was barely getting by.
Dude, me too.
I couldn't even find my classroom.
You needed a class that just showed you where the class
is. Math is.
You were that kid?
Yeah.
Only one left in the halls. Principal's like, yeah, Mr. Kelsey. Yeah.
For sure.
You're like, hey, do you know where the gym is? He's like, you're in it, motherfucker. How high are you?
No, it wasn't anything like that. Yeah, yeah, okay. I really was trying to, like, make it in every single sport.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to play college basketball. I wanted to play college football. I wanted to play, really, baseball as well. But I just I had everybody telling me, it was like, football's the sport. Football's the sport. You're built for it. This and that. My brother had just went to Cincinnati to play football. So I was kind of like, all right, man, this is what it is. This is what it is. I'm glad I listened to everybody, man, because I don't know if I would have made it in hoops, man. There are some unbelievable athletes.
Yeah.
And it's just not as many players on the team.
So you were a good high school basketball player.
I like to think so. Yeah. Yeah.
But you were this size. You had handles.
No, I did not. That's what I did not have.
Yeah. You realize, too, being a good high school player and then just the jump to college, how dope those guys are.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I felt like I was – I shot the three in high school. That was my thing. I'd park on the fucking – you know, and then if they
– White man's corner?
Yeah.
Just right there. Yeah, right, dude. There?
Right there.
Adam's in the corner.
Yeah, dude. And then if I got lucky to take a couple to the hole, I would. But, yeah, needing handles was like – I remember getting to play with some kids at SC where I went to college, some kids that were on the hoops squad in just like intramural stuff. I mean, they just ran. So I was like, oh, just even that jump to a D1 school is insane.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild.
So you wouldn't be like
I thought I could have competed, but that's just the competitor in me
saying
that I would have been able to figure it out. Football did come a little bit more natural.
Yeah.
Especially when I moved to the tight end position. It's just – it's a lot less – you can just play the game more simple at not at quarterback.
Right.
Right? You have to think of so many different things. You have to be so prepared. And that's my entire childhood and me growing up, I would just show up and have fun. Like, that's just who I was.
From
I wasn't
the get-go,
preparing
huh?
to do anything. Like, I wasn't trying to be, like, this unbelievable leader and like, I don't know, some type of Disney movie, like, will my team to win, as a kid. Like, that's just, I was just like, hey, man, let's go out here and have some fun and crack some jokes and let's kick it. That's why I loved all my childhood hockey and baseball teams, because all the kids and all the guys and the parents that were on those teams were so much fun. And we won a few games.
Yeah.
And we won a few games. But once I made the transition to tight end, it just simplified the game for me, and I can kind of, you know, tweak the tight end position to make it more available and better suited for the offense to the quarterback.
You were just telling me while we were in between takes on the shoot that, like, just in the last few years you felt like things – you kind of let go of maybe, like, your headiness with the game and overthinking things. I feel like that is something, again, in probably most jobs, especially, like, in acting and comedy, where you just got to, like – trust that you've done the prep, right? And then just react and play. But that's such an easier said than done mentality. And it does take reps and experience to get comfy to even feel that way. And you said it took you a few years to even – I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. It took me at least, probably 4 or 5 years until I really, like, felt comfortable understanding what this defense is. So depending on what team we'll play, we'll know what coverages they run to first down, second down, in the red zone, like, we'll know everything, right? Yeah. They'll have it all laid out from the first game of this season to the 10th game of the season, and it'll have every stat that you can think of. And you can literally look up, like, okay, they're more predominant to run cover two when it's second and eight. So Coach Reed does all this evaluating and he schemes them up and tries to get our best cover two beater when it's second and eight or something like that. And I was thinking of all of that on the field, and it was just like, why am I making this game this confusing? Why am I taking it to that level? Like I know what cover two is. I know what kind of leverage the defense is being taught to have in cover two. Why not just react instead of actually trying to be this mastermind? Let Coach Reed be the mastermind.
Yeah,
like, that's why he's the best at what he does. So it's just, I don't know. I just cut it loose and I just started playing a little bit more free. And trying to just be available as fast as I can for the quarterback. And that's just in the pass game. The run game is just, you know, sometimes you just got to cut it loose and just be a maniac like George Kittle, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You were telling me that you guys have this, you know, you had this, what, camp or weekend retreat you and the other tight ends did?
Yep.
How much do you actually try to – tight end you, yeah. Well, you guys help tight ends from around the country, right, that are kind of up and coming? Yeah.
It was just like an open forum, to be honest. I mean, me, George, and Greg Olson – We all kind of got up there in the front, and then Darren Waller also got up there and talked to us a little bit about his journey in route running. Mercedes Lewis, another guy, they jumped up there. But it was just like a seminar for everybody to get together, and it was very reassuring. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everybody's a pro. Everybody's in this thing, and we're all being taught, you know, virtually the same thing. We're all seeing the same defenses. So it's like everybody understands the game. But to hear what another guy is doing and seeing him have success with it, it's just reassuring that you know what I mean, that everybody can do that.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, as long as it's a part of their offense for them to do that, that's what it's really about. So yeah. I don't know. It was just fun, man, to get around all the guys.
Fuck yeah. That doesn't happen during the season.
No, never. I've never, in my 9 years in the league, I've never been around that many, you know, tight ends or that many guys in this group, man. And we got a lot of good dudes, man.
Oh yeah. Is it tough to make friends with the other players in the league because you are like, you don't have these set up, you know, hangs like that? I mean, like, after game, like, I think every fan is always curious, like, when you see guys talking post game and high fiving, you just assume they have, you know, maybe they went to school together or they know each other from some, you know, AAU thing or something. But
yeah.
Where is that? Like, what are those post game chats? What's
I mean, it's just really just catching up and wishing a guy the best of luck the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
See you when I see you.
Yeah. I think for the most part, guys that I've competed against, especially in the division, I mean, it's just kind of like a nod to like, yeah, man, much respect. You know, I were working all week on this one play, you yeah, know what I mean?
Dude.
And the coach didn't even call, and I was like, dang. You know what I mean? It's like little conversations like that.
Yeah.
You just keep it moving and show your respect. And sure enough, if it's somebody that you played with, you know, you might want to swap a jersey or take a pick and –
Have you done that? Up.
Yeah, for sure.
What was the
for
first sure. one you did when you got into the league and you were like, I can't believe I'm fucking lining up against or on the other side against?
For me, it was probably James Harrison, man.
Wow.
Yeah, that dude, I mean, he's just been just the most feared defender in the league for since I was in high school. Yeah, since I was like middle school.
Oh, that's even crazy.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's just watching him do that and then I'm playing against him and like you can't see his eyes. He's got the the visor on.
Yeah,
it's just like, I mean, lightweight. And then I had to block him on a play, and I'm trying to like be the bully. I'm trying to like show him that I can stand my ground.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. But you're also fanning out a little, or no?
Yeah.
Or at least just out of
yeah,
your.
Yeah, I'm just like, wow, this is James Harrison.
You say it out loud. He's like, hey man, I can hear you. Try to be tough. We're on the field. Oh, sorry, man. I thought I was thinking.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Nah, that was the last time I did that. He lit me up pretty good.
So do you swap jerseys with him or no?
No, no. I actually didn't say anything to him.
Try to keep
after
that.
Yeah, I just try to keep my distance from him.
That's crazy to me that you have such a like, you know, joyful attitude towards the game and have had it since you were a kid and still now. Because
man.
Again, just like in any job and especially sports, I feel like there is a there's no shortage of reasons to like get jammed up and get stressed out and get and feel the pressure and not. Deal with that accordingly.
Yeah.
So the fact that what do you think you attribute that to? Is that like fam or just your overall day? Do you wake up just on the right side of the bed always or what is it?
I try to. I mean, without a doubt, I try to. I think, and don't get me wrong, I have definitely dealt with the insecurities of failure, of, you know what I mean, all these negative feelings and emotions that can come into play while you're out there on the field. This is why, you know, I'm an advocate of people really getting to know themselves mentally, and mental health is as serious as it can be, up to this point. And I just think, you know, I've been fortunate to have good people around me that I can have a conversation with. But for the most part, I think it's exactly that, man. Just waking up with an attitude of appreciation, of just, you know, wanting to enjoy the day and enjoy the day with the people around me, man. That's all I can really attest it to, man.
Yeah, you've done that. I mean, your boys that were on the shoot with us that we went out with that night, I mean, are your fucking childhood
homies. The homies, man. The homies, yeah.
That's so crazy. I've got maybe 3 to 5, again, also from like elementary school, maybe high school, that are still in the circle. And it's like, that's the dream, man. Because you have guys like that know you so well, they can keep you in check, that are not total yes, man.
No,
but also
no,
are there to champion and support like the good stuff so that you want to share it with them, right?
Without a doubt, man. And it's that's what I mean. I have like we have like a team of people outside of the facility of just like friends and family of just, you know, very everybody supporting of each other.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, having a foundation like that, man, it just makes, I don't know. It, for me, it makes life that much more fun, man.
1,000%. There's something about watching somebody like you that I feel like has the keys to the city. Like when we went to this little spot that was like so cool because also you go, all right, you're this, when you're already a larger than life character in the city and where the sport is, you know, kind of king, right? Football in KC is.
Yeah. I mean, it takes presence.
Even knowing before you came here, you, what was it like even when you knew you got drafted here? Were you like, did the fan base immediately, had they already looked you up? Were they sending you messages? Was it like, or were you like, I'm really going to have to earn my stripes here?
I think it was a little bit of earn my stripes, to be honest. I mean, the kingdom definitely knows who they get and,
yeah,
you know, they do their research. But until you go out there and actually, you know, make some plays, I don't think they really grasp you. Yeah, they really kind of, I don't know.
Bring you in the house.
Yeah, accept you.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I remember my first game that I actually played. Well, it was a preseason game my second year, because my first year I was injured and I was going through a knee surgery that I ended up having to get. But going to the preseason of my second year, I'm playing the Cincinnati Bengals, who I was a little butthurt that they chose a tight end ahead of me in the draft, knowing that I played at Cincinnati. You know what I mean? I'm an Ohio kid. They went a different route.
I saw some article recently that showed, like, I think it was the five guys that were picked ahead of you or something.
Yeah.
And just to kind of show, like, look who you fucking missed out on.
Yeah, but they had some – we had some ballers.
Yeah.
We had some ballers.
Yeah.
I learned to not give a damn about that anymore because I'm actually extremely happy that I landed in Kansas City.
Fuck yeah. But at first, right, hometown ties.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So we were playing them, and I just wanted to make sure that they, you know, saw what they missed out on. So
wow.
When I had like a 60-yard touchdown, Chase Daniels threw one to me right before the half, and I take it 60 yards to the house. And after that, I saw on social media the amount of, you know, what Chiefs Kingdom was really like, how they just swarmed me.
Wow.
It was nuts. I had never, and I'd been, being at Cincinnati, we got a pretty good fan base, but it was nothing like this. Like, I was getting tagged and everything, and everybody was excited. And that was probably one of the coolest moments, because coming off of a knee surgery, yeah, I hadn't really like played in a game or anything like that, so I didn't know how the direction and the journey of my career was going to go and this and that.
Wow, dude!
And then I was able to have a pretty good year, my second year, my first year playing, and then from there it's just kind of just been a crazy process,
bangers,
man.
Dude.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. And look, the world's getting crazy out there. You want to drown it out with some sweet, sweet tunes in your ears. Fill up those drums with some Chumbawamba, some Lisa Loeb, some Keith Sweat, some Eminem. Something fun. I know Beyonce's Single Ladies is what I usually cue up if I feel the turbulence is getting out of control and the plane's going down. Sometimes you need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see people or stay calm with some guided meditation. So, let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. They come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort, and unlike some other brands, they don't stick out of your ears so that people walk by and go, hey, look at the weird guy with weird things coming out of his ears. Hey, fuck you, man, those are Raycons. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, that's impressive, so that you can listen to whatever you want, when you want, for a really long time. They start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee, so you really can't lose. Give them a try, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Create your own soundtrack for life with Raycon wireless earbuds. Right now, About Last Night listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/about. That's buyraycon.com/about to save 15% off your Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/about right now and start listening and enjoying life the way it was meant to be. That first game in, it's still called Arrowhead, right? The stadium?
Yeah. GEHA Field at Arrowhead.
Yeah, dude. That,
another
yeah.
voiceover right there.
yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You could be the PA announcer, too, and the long snapper. Yeah. I'm telling you, man. I got to go to a game a few years ago, and, you know, everyone says your stadium and the Seahawks stadium are the two loudest in football. And, you know, I've been in a handful of others. I fucking firmly can confirm that. I mean, and it gets loud. Can you just break down for me the first game where you were like, you're running through the tunnel, stadium's going nuts. Like, I mean, maybe it was just the first game.
I would say the first real game that I was like, man, this place is rocking, was that first year or that second year. We played the Patriots on a Monday night, and we ended up getting the win. And I think it was Hussein Abdul. It was Hussein Abdul. He ended up getting a pick, going to the house to like kind of seal the game. And man, when I tell you, that place erupted. Everybody throwing. It was like we won the Super Bowl or something. Oh, everybody's shit. Throwing hats, taking their shirts off, going crazy. Just and you couldn't talk to the person next to you. Like it was just like,
oh my god!
It was just like the noise from the crowd and everybody's excitement just took over, and it was just like white. It was just a sound like you couldn't hear anybody next to you. It was wild.
Do you remember locking eyes or seeing anything in the stands, like of anything that was true, like people like choking each other out, or like somebody just flashing? When that happens, sports fans are nuts. I've been a part of it, man. When you are on the receiving end of the good stuff, you fucking lose it. When I saw my Hawks come back from the NFC Championship game against the Packers, you know, down Russ had thrown four picks, you know, it was 19-7. Remember that? Yeah. You watch? I mean, that was the thing I was asking you too, is how much football do you watch when you're not playing?
I'll throw on an NFL game, The college games can get kind of tough sometimes.
Yeah.
But the NFL games, yeah, I'll check those out all the time.
Would you and Jay, I don't know, swap? I just heard Peyton Manning say this, that him and Eli would, and it's probably a little different because they were both quarterbacks, but they would, during the season, you know, talk, you know, if he was getting ready to play the Cowboys, he was like, what do you do against DeMarcus? Like, certain prep things, and he was like, that's a huge advantage. Let me do my Peyton. He's like, there's a huge advantage of having it sounds more like, who is that, Kermit the Frog? So it sounded more, so he was like, we would share info about who we were playing. He's like, that's an advantage to have a sibling doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you and Jason are different positions, but you know, on the offensive side of the ball, would you guys give each other little tips like that or
not? No, not really. I think just because he's a center. Yeah. I think there have been times where I'll call him and ask him just how he's doing, and then I'll say, oh yeah, I got the I got these guys coming up, and they say, oh yeah, man, then we'll just talk about the defense from that point. But I mean, I don't think it's ever been like, no, hey man, I'm really trying to figure out the answers to this test over here. You got any any notes for me? We do run similar offenses though, so it's fun to.
Oh, that's cool.
It's fun when we're scheming up a team. If we like something that the Eagles do, we'll sometimes take it from them, and I'm sure it's vice versa. It's a copycat league.
Yeah.
But we'll see that, and then I'll always watch Jason on the play. I'll disregard the entire play, awesome. And I'll just watch Jason. I'm like, hey, look at 62 over here. The big beefcake.
Yeah. Is that his nickname?
No. I think he's
a big beefcake. Yeah. Is a great nickname for a porn star and a center. Maybe oh my god. Cuz what nicknames, you know, you got what? What are your nicknames? TK?
Killer Trav, T-Kels, TK,
just Kelsey.
Some
guys
call
go
me
with the
Zeus.
Classic last name.
Yeah, Kelsey.
What was the other one? Goose?
Some for fantasy football called me Zeus.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. I don't know where it came from. I don't understand what it was, but
isn't Zeus like a Greek god?
Yeah,
there you go.
Greek god. That's where I think it came of weather, from. Maybe.
The weather.
The what? Weather? I have no idea.
You and me both, dude. I'm like, close. The capital of Florida is Disneyland, right?
that was pretty good.
Wait, so fantasy football. The amount of, you know, first of all, congrats on the number 5. NFL ranking.
Thank you, man. That was pretty crazy.
Come on.
That was pretty crazy.
I know that you're such a, you eat a big piece of humble pie and you're like, I don't pay attention to that shit, whatever. But it's voted on by the players, right? And coaches.
That's what is honoring.
Come on.
You know what I mean? That's pretty freaking cool.
All you want is the respect to your peers, right?
Yeah. That's all you need, man.
And you were in 2016 ranked 91. And now 5 years later, 5?
91 to 5.
What happened?
Probably, like I was saying, just cutting it loose, playing more free, and then Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. Those guys are pretty good.
What a fucking trio, dude.
Dude, I mean,
it's insane.
It's fun, man. Every single day is a fuck, just a blast in the locker room, man. We got a lot of good dudes in there.
It's Goof City,
Tyreek and Pat being the culprits, man.
I was going to say, who's the mayor of Goof City? You said you're kind of leading the charge, right, with keeping things light?
Yeah. Like to keep, really, the tight end room, we like to keep it nice and, you know what I mean, everybody's enjoying. Taking care of business.
Yeah.
Always taking care of business.
You're there for that.
Always taking care of business, but we're down to have some fun, man. I think the whole tight end room.
Are you
is really who the goofballs are?
Yeah. Have you gotten as intricate with like the touchdown celebration dances now that because they don't flag them now, right? That happened what, a couple years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, because I saw my Hawks again to go back to got real specific a few years ago.
They were killing it there for a while. They had like almost the Temptations going. They had a whole bunch of they
almost
had
too hard with the choreography to where you're like, if you drop a couple balls, you're like. Hey, man, maybe if you weren't practicing the bye-bye-bye dance, you would have fucking made that catch, Ty Lock. But no, they...
Great dude. Great dude, Ty Lock.
Great dude. Beast.
It's funny you say that because I was watching basketball the other day, and the opening scene of the sports, of like all, they go to all the different sports, and they show the football players like doing choreography.
Like insane.
Dude. And I'm just like, this is... The world we live in, kind of.
It would be, totally. I mean, it would be great to really get to an insane stage of football. I mean, would you welcome that, or is that too much? Like, where the celebrations are so crazy.
I just don't think guys really want, that's a lot of energy, man. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I'm
post-touchdown?
Like, 15-play drive, I'm not trying to fucking do
an
entire core, an entire dance.
The whole Grease Lightning second act, yeah.
That takes away too much from the game. They're already doing too much with, the rules.
Yeah.
So it's taken away a lot of the physicality of the game.
Yeah.
I'm just like, doing something like that, that would just turn it into, you know what I mean? We'd be playing basketball in 5 years.
I mean, dude, we could be. The fact that, by the way, after I saw that movie, that a real-life basketball league wasn't birthed.
It did in my backyard. I don't know if it did in everybody
else's.
Well,
yeah, every kid that saw the movie.
We were playing that every day.
Yeah. Great summer game. When Pat showed up, did you guys get on the same page right away? What's that like when you get a new QB and as far as like the just getting on the same page?
So we still had Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And that was a cool dynamic that I appreciate more now than I did when it was actually happening because at the time I was going to work with Alex and just trying to be the best tight end I could while watching Pat just dice up the defense on the scout team.
Wow.
Because his entire first year, he was just sitting there waiting for his opportunity.
Yeah.
And really learning from Alex how to be a professional. Not that he didn't, know how to, but like I said, sometimes it's just reassuring when you see somebody doing what you're doing, having success, and you can hear and see how he's having the success throughout the week, right? Or how he schedules the week. And then he comes in, starts the next year, and it feels like I gave this example after the first year. It was like when Alex had the keys of the car, he was driving the car, great tunes, you know what I mean? Nice classic tunes, some bangers in there, you know what I mean? Get you going a little bit.
Some What's Up, Four Non Blondes, some Chumbawamba Tub Thumping, some fucking Blind Melon, No Rain.
You know it, baby.
Some Keith Sweat,
Disney
Nobody.
Radio.
Yeah. Disney Radio, nah. Yeah.
And then when Pat had the keys of the car, it was like it was turned all the way up, and it was playing a new song that you had never even heard, but you were like, this song is bumping.
Wow.
And it was just, you know what I mean? It was just a different vibe. It was a younger vibe. I felt like, you know what I mean, I was 22 all over again playing the game and the excitement for the game. It was just like, man, the energy of how we all connected on the offensive side of the ball just made me feel like more hungrier to come into the building, man.
Wow.
Because it was like and I love Alex. Alex was unbelievable. I wish I could have got a Super Bowl with Alex, man. And there was an opportunity, and in his last year I ended up getting concussed. And I feel like, you know what I mean, that was our one opportunity. If I would have went back out in the game, he would at least, woulda, coulda, shoulda, right?
Of course, man.
Love to think about stuff like that. But outside of that, man, it's just when Pat came in, man, it was Coach Reed's ability to just do anything with the plays just it. There's no ceiling on it because he can make those throws and he makes great decisions when he's out there with the ball in his hands, man.
I was going to ask about that because how much of that is the coach's a responsibility, but also job to, you know, recognize, oh shit, I've got a pretty crazy talent here with other crazy talents. I kind of got to let them. The same way that everyone has been arguing the last few years, again, to go back to my Hawks with let Russ cook. It's like, you know, there's something to be said about being like, and this even goes along with comedy. When you look at TV shows and you have like network execs trying to, it's why Chappelle left the Chappelle show, right? Because he was like, man, I had too many cooks in the kitchen trying to tell me how to do what I do. It's like these non-comedy guys are trying to be like, do this. And so for a coach, I have to assume it's like, all right, you know the game, whether you played or not, but you can't do what these guys are doing. You're not doing it. So maybe you go, all right, they got here for a reason. How much do I try to give them the keys without driving it for them?
Yeah, the trust.
The trust.
And that's where his game keeps going up. I think this year more than ever, the coaches, Coach Reed specifically, have kind of just, you know, let him take more control when he's out there on the field. Not that he didn't have all the control, but because he's the one calling the plays on the field. But I think it's just, you know, as he grows, you'll see a lot more of him making checks at the line and stuff like that that you have seen all these great quarterbacks do throughout their entire careers, especially later on in their careers when they get more comfortable like that. And they gain that trust with the coaches to be able to do that.
I heard you say watching Andy Reid raise the Super Bowl trophy was the best moment of your career.
Man, I fucking loved it, dude.
Yeah.
I loved it, man. That guy, what he's done for my career, personally. Not what he's done for this entire city, community, organization, and how he flipped them from a 2-14 team to not having a losing season since he's been here.
Yo, thank you.
Going to the playoffs.
People forget that.
I'm telling you, he immediately changed this entire organization around the minute he was hired.
Flipped the culture.
Went out, got Alex Smith, a winning quarterback, to help guide us, lead us, and then from there, having the defensive staff going out and grabbing Spags, making sure that, you know, we keep everything light and great in the room, and Spags is an unbelievable defensive coordinator. And he just went out and, you know, got guys and won football games here, changed the lives of a whole bunch of players, including me, and then gave Kansas City a whole lot of smiles, man.
Yeah, dude.
A whole lot of good times.
Was that Super Bowl is crazy. I rewatched a bunch of it a few nights ago, and it was like that sideline was I mean, you know, you already are so happy-go-lucky on the field, but it's like your smile was you just could, it was – I was trying to put myself in, dude, like the mindset of like all these people getting there to the first time and then winning it like that.
Mm-hmm. It was wild, man. It was wild, especially the way we did it was – we. You know, we're losing in every single game that we played in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. Made it harder on ourselves, but what it did was just made it more dramatic at the end to, you know, really, you know, appreciate how hard we fought to get there. And Coach Reed, he's like a dad in the building. He's just like, you know what I mean? And he kind of looks at the players like we're his kids or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's guiding us into the journey in life and stuff like that. So he has a fatherly coaching ability, and that's why guys really love him. I mean, he's personally, you can trust that he's going to make sure he's making the right decisions.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of that is everything, man.
Was that Super Bowl experience just top to bottom? Like, obviously, you know, you've been back there.
The one that I won or the one that I got my ass beat?
The one, whichever one you want to talk about.
The one you won. Miami was nuts, man.
Like, take me through media.
Right now, it's so fresh because we haven't played in front of a crowd like that. We haven't played, like, that was the last game that we had full capacity for a game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was it.
For
so
real?
To win the Super Bowl and that be, like, that's sitting right there. It's motivating, man. It's like, man, I want to get back to that because that was fucking fun.
Well, that's going
to
be Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's definitely going to be Sunday.
Holy shit.
All right. Got a great Cleveland Browns team coming in, man, and it's going to be rocking. I know Arrowhead's ready to roll, and I know Cleveland travels well, so.
Oh, yeah. It's what, 5-hour drive?
What? No.
I just said that by not. By the way, I did not even picture a map in my head.
Disneyland is the capital of Florida.
That's at Adam Ray Comedy. If you want to send any sort teasers,
it's about 12 okay. hours.
All right,
but
you can make that. That's a flight
for sure.
It's a flight for sure.
My dad's done it before.
Yeah. So. All right. Wait. Back to the Super Bowl, real quick. Okay. So media, everything. Is it overwhelming? Are you like just so fired up and adrenaline that you're like, bring it on. I'll do anything and everything. Or are you like, do the nerves go up to where you're like, all right, like I know I got these interviews, but like, man, I really need to focus because I want to, you know, do another once over on the, you know, my preparations. So yeah.
I hear you. I think it was a little bit of both. Yeah, I know, right?
That's a great question. It was taking me back.
It was so fucking hard. They prep you so much, or at least this is how I dealt with it. They prep you so much that you just don't even worry about the media stuff. You're going to have to do it. It's going to be an hour, and you're just going to sit in a room, or 2 hours, however long it is. And you're just going to sit in a room and not do anything but answer questions. And it's probably going to be the same question back to back to back to back to back. And it's like, that's happening. You can't let that piss you off. You can't let that get to you. You just have to kind of have fun with it, roll through it, get it done. Or like beast mode, you know, just be there so you don't get fined. Yeah. However you want to do it, it's your choice. And it's with dealing with that, and then you're so excited about the game that you're nonstop thinking about it 24/7.
Come on.
So it's kind of like every now and then you have to step away. You know, that I was lucky I had friends down there. I had family down there. My girlfriend was down there. And I was able to, you know, just step away, have a meal where I'm not just thinking about what I'm going to do on XY hook in the red zone on 3rd and 4. Yeah. You know, it's just it can get overwhelming. That's why when I was watching the Michael Jordan documentary on ESPN, his ability to just cut it basketball out of the equation, just go play golf before the NBA finals.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's like I kind of understand because you think about it all day, every day. When you're in the building, you're nonstop thinking of, you know, every play, every situation, what could possibly happen. Or on top of that, ways that you can make the game or team better, right? You're just nonstop always trying to think of this shit. So to step away, to have, you know, something else to put your mind on, or to take your mind away from the game for a little bit, I think it's definitely needed.
Yeah, you gotta be able to separate, man. I mean, that's what I go home to Seattle to be with my fam for, is like, I still, you know, there's always work things to be done, but it's like, I am at my niece's, my sister, my mom's disposal to, like, you know, do shit, or, you know, grab something off the top shelf, or fucking give my mom an arthritic fucking hand massage, or, you know, something just to go, it's not... You're not, as you licked your lips, was, arthritic hand massage, yeah. That's how much is that going for?
Right on. Yeah. I don't even know what that even means.
Oh, my mom's got bad arthritis, so she's got, like, fucking witch hands, so I just try to, like, rub them up to, you know, she's like, they just hurt constantly.
I'm not laughing at that.
Yeah. Well, she says it. She's like, I got these fucking arthritic. She's always like, she's 71. She's like, I feel like I'm 40, but I got these arthritic witch hands. So, you know, you can't help but laugh. That's where I get the comedy from. Where do you get your goofballness from? Mom or dad? A little bit of both.
Man, I think both, man. I remember my dad would always, you know, he would sit there, watch TV, and he's one of those guys who can watch TV and he'll laugh out loud. Like, I can only watch TV and laugh if there's somebody else to laugh with.
Right.
Like, I can't just, like, see something and be like, ha, ha.
Makes you feel like a crazy person.
I feel nuts. absolutely nuts. Imagine my dad is just going crazy laughing at the TV, and it's just him. I'm just like, man, you're enjoying.
You didn't even look for someone to check in with.
No. He's just, so I was just, all right. But my mom always, at like baseball games, I just remember her and all the other moms on the team would be out in right field, just a cooler, some lawn chairs, and just dying laughing. Just absolutely dying laughing. And all the moms were saying, like, your mom can tell a story. And I'm just like, all right, well, mom's got good storytelling.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah, so I think I get it from both for sure. Yeah. And then just growing up with Jason. Jason's a goof, man.
Yeah.
Maybe not a goof. He's just
a straight hysterical. Man. He's the Spade to your Farley, right?
There you go.
You need a.
I mean, thank you.
Yeah.
For 1,000%. Giving me Farley.
Yeah. Well, 1,000%. If he's the, like, also guy, even, man. Yeah, the best. Also, just, you know, it's an energy thing, too. Jay does have big energy, mm-hmm. but can contain it, you know what I'm saying? except for if he's given a Super Bowl speech.
Yeah. No, that's, and you know what? This, all the speech was just a little bit of Jason. And that's the thing, man. If everybody. You know, if he really opened himself to the world and did something like a podcast, we've been talking about maybe trying to do something like that, like I was saying.
Yeah.
Man, everybody would just fall in love with him even more, man. Totally. I mean, the more – I think early on, the good old Philly market kind of made him want to step away from
totally
all the social media stuff and really being in the – In the face of everybody.
It's a lot.
So he, I don't know. I think so. He deleted all his social media early.
Oh wow.
On. Yeah, but
just to kind of focus on football.
Yeah, just not even worry about any of that extra stuff.
Did you know he was going to do that speech? Did you know that outfit was there?
Listen, I've heard a speech like that. I mean, countless times, man. Especially at Cincinnati, just had some unbelievable.
For real?
Yes.
Man. Oh yeah, people forget. So you guys played there together for how many years then?
Three. We played high school for two and college for three.
Dude, just ruling the school.
Yeah, that's pretty fun,
as a
man.
Killer bro combo that's, you know what I'm saying, though? Like, that's athletically, yeah. I mean, I know what it was like to have, like, a couple twins that were dominant in the sport, football and basketball in high school, and how they were revered. So I can't imagine just the way people looked at the Kelsey brothers coming through, right?
Yeah.
Teachers would get out of the way, fucking get on their knees.
I didn't really get great or really well respected at Cincinnati until like my senior year.
Gotcha.
I mean, early on, I had like this Wildcat package where I was like the Wildcat quarterback.
Yeah,
and I would like I had a few rushing touchdowns, but it wasn't anything like everybody on campus knew who I was. Everyone on campus knew who Jason was.
Wait, I got a stat here: 2011 Cincinnati to 2012. Yeah, you had 150 yards in 2011, 722 in 2012.
Yeah, 722. Man.
What the fuck?
That was my senior year, man. That was
felt comfy in the system, just got bigger.
No, it was my last draw. You know, I'm a big procrastinator, so
wait
to my last year.
To
wait for
to
the last
splash.
Moment. You know, go out there, gotta get a job after this year.
That's amazing.
Should probably hit the weight room and
turn it up a notch.
Yeah. Actually show everybody I want to play football for the rest of my life.
Wait, so you said you saw that speech countless times. So he's done that type of shit. You weren't surprised.
For sure. No, I loved every bit of it. I was in tears for a second. Yeah. It was one of those tears. You know,
fuck yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, I mean, to inspire and like pump up that many people. And then you see the people.
That was sweet.
What was
man.
Cool to see was the players and coaches behind them kind of also, some of them also looked surprised. Like they were like, is this the same Jay Kelsey that we've been fucking with for the past handful of years?
If you play him, you know exactly what he's about, man.
And once it just like, and once he went down the list of like, you know, Zach Ertz, can't catch, Lane Johnson, hits the juice too much. And then, you know, whatever he was just,
you know what I mean?
Just building it up and like, oh man, people are going, it was fucking incredible.
What a guy, man. What a guy. Best speech I've ever heard, man.
1,000%. Have you given speeches like that in the locker room, like halftime or pre-post game?
I did in college. I think since I've been in the league, man, yelling at a bunch of grown men, it's just, I don't know. It's got to be the right time.
1,000%.
You know? And I just never have really felt that time.
Yep.
You know? Without at least somebody else doing it before I would have, you know, meaning like another leader in the locker room was the one yelling. And I'm just like, all right, you got it.
You got it.
Somebody's on it.
Yeah. I feel like you would dominate being like a seventh grade basketball coach.
Oh, man.
Where I'm saying like the sweet spot where kids kind of think they're the shit, but they know that you are the shit. So that there's still a level of respect there where they're like, all right, this guy definitely has a bigger dick than me. So I'm not going to walk around with too much swagger in seventh grade. But you know how seventh graders are. We all were that. You definitely are too cool for school.
Too cool for school.
And especially in sports. So I feel like that's like a great sweet spot for you to be like, yo.
That's pretty good.
Yo, Tony. Shut the fuck up. Or just like, you suck. And him being like, I hear you. I know what you're trying to do with that coach.
I had that coach too, man. He was the best, yeah. Bogus, man. He's my hockey coach.
His last name was Bogus?
Oh, man, the best. Yeah, I always thought I was too cool for school, especially on the hockey rink, because I was like 6'5 on skates. And all the other kids, I mean, you're middle school. All the other kids aren't even like 5'5 yet. So
dude,
it's just
who would you have played in Disney on Ice? Goofy? Like who's the 6'5 Disney character?
I have no idea. It would have had to create a whole new beast.
Create a whole new beast.
A whole new beast.
Wait, so how would he set you straight?
I just remember one of the first games we ever had, I had like 3 goals, and after every single goal I did like something like some like kind of move. Love and it. He looked at me and said, "Act like you've fucking been there." I was just like, "Oh shit. All right." Never did it again.
Dude, I love that.
Never did it again. I was like, "All right, well, I'm just going to score and celebrate my team."
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Right.
Dude, I love that. Got it. I had the exact same thing happen in high school when I hit a 3 in a playoff game, and I did a shimmy, dude. I had the balls to do a shimmy in a home game, walking down court, kind of did it to my friends in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
And, dude, coach this pulled me out proud, and was man. Just like, same shit, dude. He goes, act like you fucking been here. He's like, all you do is shoot threes. You fucking were that surprised that you made one? I was like, no, man. I was just pumped. I was trying to sell. It's a playoff game, man. I was trying to add a little energy. He's like, you have never seen you fucking do that. It wasn't even a good shimmy. You don't have shimmy shoulders. I'm like, you're critiquing my shimmy shoulders? It's a timeout. That's what you're using this for?
Damn it.
So, you know, there's a time and a place to celebrate.
There is. No, I had to learn that, too. I was celebrating after every single first down my first couple years, man.
For real.
Just getting pumped. Just like, go.
Yeah. You get fired up, though, also off the energy of the crowd. Here's what when people were giving Sherman a hard time after getting on Aaron Andrews on that interview after we won the NFC Championship. Man, yeah. By the way, do you get annoyed or do you appreciate when fans do what I just did? Where I'm like, when we won the NFC Championship.
I get it.
I used to do a joke about this. I go, these guys don't even know we're here. I go, yet I accept partial responsibility for the success of the team.
I'm with it. Yeah, for sure.
People are like, dude, congrats on the Super Bowl. Sure. I was like, thanks, man. Those 12 beers I had at half really helped us run the ball better.
I think my brother did a similar idea. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He was on Always Sunny, and they had kind of like a play on like, oh, we feel like we're a part of the team, and we have.
Is that Charlie Day?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's so funny. Do you?
Him and Rob are awesome, man.
Yeah, they're killer. Is that the fan base out here is nonstop? See ya, stop ya, or what up? Like, what's the? I saw when we were out after the shoot, people were real respectful. Yeah. Just, what up, man? Maybe want to buy you a drink? Maybe do this. You're always real cool with
it. Kansas City's awesome, man.
Yeah.
They're real cool about all of that, and I'm also not really – I'm not tripping. Like, I enjoy playing the game. I'm not trying to hide from anybody when I go out. I know some guys need security. It can get pretty crazy for a guy like Patrick Mahomes.
1,000%.
It can get real crazy. I've seen it. So somebody having security like that, I mean, I think it's needed. But for me, nobody's really, like, pressing me or rushing me or anything like that.
With a decent amount of like.
Yeah, and that's Kansas City, I think. I think everybody kind of comes at you with a lot of respect and, you know, just appreciation. And why not show a little love, man? That's how I think about it.
Any really memorable ones? Like, I don't know, like a kid coming up to you in the shitter, like a Panera or something, or like a 90-year-old Chiefs fan, like, you know, showing up on your doorstep, like, you know, I'll do anything for love.
Yeah, no, I've had a few people knock on the door when I lived downtown.
Yikes.
It was just random, yeah. It was really weird, but.
Whatever.
I said, what's up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you? Yeah,
yeah, I was
yeah.
Like, oh, nice.
Congrats on finding the place.
Don't tell anybody I live here, man. Thanks.
They won't if you sign these. And they're like, wow, sir, those are big and beautiful. Sorry. Do you ever read YouTube comments?
YouTube comments. I probably have not.
From interviews, highlight reels. Well, I want to give you a few, dude, just to go
nice.
Off this.
Yeah, let's
Travis
hear
Kelce is a good guy. Here's one that was on your Pat McAfee interview that you just did recently.
Ooh, nice.
Every time I get the chance, I will always tell this story. Travis Kelce, spelled your last name wrong, is a very generous guy. I witnessed firsthand when I was working at a sporting goods store in KC. He came in with his foundation and gave gift cards to probably 25 kids to get coats and whatever they wanted. Anytime someone went over, he was right there with his credit card to pay the difference. I was a cashier ringing everyone up, and they were all done. The manager came to me with a signed ball and said, hey, Travis wanted to give this to you. I'll never forget that experience.
How about it, huh?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Now, I made all that up, but, like, have there been times?
That's what I'm saying. In my head, I'm like, gosh, that it could happen.
No,
I mean, I've done that. I've done that at a few different stores, yeah.
That's crazy.
But I'm glad that they – You
remember
know,
that.
For, yeah,
here's another
cool.
one. This guy goes, I used to work room service at the hotel in KC the Chiefs stayed in before games, and I delivered to Travis once and was so nice. He took time to talk with me for a bit, even though the security was pissed. Awesome dude.
Are you, these are all just...
Yeah, real comments. Because they pop up so quick. So I was watching some of the McAfee interview, and then I saw that first one about the sporting goods right underneath. Anytime I see paragraphs under a video, I'm always like, all right, like, what did this guy take the time to really divulge here? Because usually it's just like, this guy rules, or like... sweet head, or fucking, you know, YouTube comments are all over the place. You know, this guy's saying, I bet, how big are his feet, do you think? You're like, what? Did you ask this?
If you want to talk late at night, call me. You get those ones?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Where do those come from, dude? Godly. The guy or chicks that are doing that, man.
The call late. Yeah, by the way, that was one of my first prank calls, were those, my buddy and I would see those, like, for if you're looking for a good time, call 1-800-FUCKSTICK or whatever, you know. Call 1-800-LOVE-BUCKET, you know. You're just like, good God, just the name alone is piquing my interest. So we'd call, and it'd be like, what's going on? Because you'd always get a couple minutes free to kind of suck you in, almost like a free streaming service. Like, hey, a month free on Hulu, and then sign up for the real deal, baby, with no ads. So we got that on the Love Bucket, and we called in, and she's like trying to entice us. And she's like, so what's going on? Me and my buddy are like... We're just really looking for some hot boobs. And she's like, huh? And we're like, you know, some of that hot boob action. Just giggling our asses off, crying, laughing. I mean, we're like sixth grade, dude. Just fucking.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, so yeah. But she's also, you know, trained to suck us in, you know.
Reel you in a little
reel longer. Reel us in. So she's like,
keep you as long as you
can't assume it's a prank. So she's just like, yeah, well, I got them hot boobs for you guys. And we're like, yeah, how big are they? She's like, as big as you want. We're like, you can make them bigger? Just, she's like, well, no, I got friends. We're like, we got friends too. What are you doing later? You want to go down to the 7-Eleven? You know, we'll get you some Kit Kats. And she's like, what do you want to do with those Kit Kats? We're like, probably eat them. That's why we would go and get them. And she's like, oh, I thought you'd want to like do stuff to me with them. And we're like, all right, mom, you know,
it's like, this is weird. This isn't funny anymore.
Yeah. You're actually talking us out of a subscription, lady.
This is crazy.
Yeah, those. I got respect for that job. I want to ask you this, Trav, before we wrap this up.
Man.
Are you good, by the way, on time?
I have a few more minutes. I'm chilling.
All right,
man.
I love you.
I'm chilling.
What was the first thing that you, and I know you get this asked this question all the time, but like once you were like locked down in KC, you had your place, like, you know, you got a dope ride as I was fortunate enough to take a spin in. Was there something that you were like, man, I always dreamed having this as a kid, like shoe wise or, jacket wise or something that you were like, I can get this for myself now, and it's also a sign of like I'm on the right path.
Nice. Yeah. Just kind of like give yourself a gift, man.
Yes,
for sure.
To treat yourself.
I treated myself to a Rolex, a Day-Date Rolex that I thought was one of the coolest things ever. I always saw the Rolex and how it doesn't tick tock, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That thing just kind of slowly goes around, and I just thought it was one of the coolest watches and accessories that you could ever have. And I went out, bought it, and 5 years after, I lost it.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know.
Inside one of the girls in fucking Hot Bucket Love.
I was real bad. It was the only piece of jewelry that I really had outside of like some Claire's earrings that I had on. I was walking around, going from hotel to hotel, kicking in the off season. I think I just, you know, left it on the dresser one time.
Fuck.
Just an idiot. An absolute idiot. Of course, I didn't have any of it insured. Why would I have anything insured?
Yeah.
I'm 24. Why would I?
Yeah, dude. You don't need insurance yet. Are you torn up about it?
Yeah. I was pretty butthurt about it. I didn't buy a Rolex for like another week.
I did see that you bought the. Another week. Nice.
Yeah. No, I went after it. I went after a few other ones after that.
Yeah.
Just because I got a new contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
good. Then there were the Marty McFlys.
That's what I was gonna.
The Marty McFlys was my movie growing up, man.
Back to the Future.
Doc. I love.
Can you do a Doc Brown?
No, I can't.
Yeah, you can. I'll show you. It's an old guy. Think of an old guy. Who's freaking out because he just found out there's a new popcorn that Orville Redenbacher came out with. Think of an old guy that loves movie theater popcorn. He goes, this is the guy that goes to the movie theater for the popcorn, right? So think of that guy.
Good.
But he's also kind of like, sounds like he's a little constipated, and he also just found out that his wife is working for lovebucket.com.
You're a legend. I don't know how you think of all of this so fast, man. It's impressive.
So you got to just think of an old guy, and he's a little constipated, and then just go, Marty! Marty! Boom. Got it. You now have a Doc Brown impression.
No, I can just I can just do whatever you just did. That's all I can do.
Dude, that movie is fucking iconic.
All of them, man. The whole series.
The whole
man.
Series.
I love them.
Even number three them. With the Wild Wild West, dude. Don't sleep on it.
Do not sleep on it. You'll probably fall asleep.
You'll probably fall asleep
because
the story
up.
Drags. But yeah. You'll wake back up and realize they made a third one. This is still adding up. They just came out with a Back to the Future musical, dude. I just saw Josh Gad in New York at backstage. And he said
I'm probably going to go watch that with my Marty McFlys on.
Dude. You got to. Those shoes are, as the kids say, sick as fuck.
Yeah, man.
And fly. I mean, that's a purchase that you will never regret.
I was so fortunate that I even saw a pair in my size available.
Oh, yeah.
They were over in UK. I got them off eBay, man. Didn't think they were even real. I was going to report the claim because I paid a decent penny for them.
Yeah.
Because the initial release was all for an auction item for Michael J. Fox's Parkinson's disease,
yeah.
Like his whole foundation. So all the proceeds, or at least a portion of them, went to there. So they were trying to raise as much money as they could. Limited edition. There were probably, couldn't even tell you how many size 13s. I'm a 15,
get
14, 15. I'll still get the 13 just because it's that shoe, man.
Yeah, dude.
I don't even know if they made a 14, so. I ended up grabbing them, and
it lights up, right?
They light up, man. Yeah, the ones that just released in 2016, I got the ones from 2011, 2012. The ones that just released can actually self tie.
What?
Yeah, they just put your foot in.
Dude, we went from the Reebok pump self-ties. To the self tie. You know what I'm saying?
I got some old Reebok. Oh yeah, some Shaq Reeboks.
Come
man.
On, dude. That was I remember seeing the movie, being like. That's the future, truly. Like hoverboards.
For sure.
And I mean, how bad did you want a hoverboard?
I mean, yeah.
Still want one.
Definitely still want one. I think they've got to be like what, like 3 years out, 4 years out? Hoverboards. I mean, if they're not already around,
gotta be, dude. If we're talking flying cars, you're not talking about stuff on the ground that flies a little bit.
Anti-gravity.
Also, I just feel like, I don't know, Elon Musk has got to be like, somebody's got to be jamming on it. You know what I'm saying?
You think he's just got like gadgets at the house?
Yeah, dude. He's got the James Bond fucking, that in any spy movie you see when they set him up and they go, here's a pen, but it's also a fucking, you know, it's also cologne. You know, and you're like, all right, I thought it was going to be cooler than that. Can we move on to the next one? He's like, here's gum that's also beef jerky. You're like, dude, you're fucking fired.
Which one is it?
Yeah, which one is it? That's the thing. You confuse the guy, and then you knock him out. You're like,
all right, nice.
You're not very good at your job.
All right, I'm putting $40 on the 49ers. That's a stupid bet, man. You want to put $80 on the Steelers.
Well, what about $95 on the Seahawks?
None of you guys know what you're talking about. You're all going to lose. Hi, I'm Daily Fantasy Sports Expert Adam Ray. No, I'm not. But I am tired of getting killed by the Daily Fantasy Sports Experts. So don't play the experts. Play the house with Stat Hero. Do you know that 85% of people who play Daily Fantasy Sports lose? Is it really that fucking surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts and people who dedicate their lives. Because they got more tools, more time, and they don't care about sexual stuff. You don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works, baby. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you. We all love those dares. Remember back in the elementary school days? Hey, a double dog dare you to pinch the teacher's butt. That was the first me too. And if you beat them, it's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. Your name, your stakes. Winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. Right? You show me mine, I'll show you yours. No one else does that. You're in total control is why I love it, because you get to see what you got and go head-to-head, one-on-one. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be. Play Stat Hero right now and change the odds by going to stathero.com/lastnight. Sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first pay. That's right, they're giving you a 300% match that's unheard of by going to stathero.com/lastnight. Stathero.com/lastnight. They give you multi-day fantasy survivor contests for all sports all year long. Just pick the lineup that you think you can beat. Go head-to-head with no pool of opponents. No matter how you play, there's always a contest for you. So stop wasting your money and give yourself the best shot at winning with StatHero. Stathero.com/lastnight.
Is there, we talked about Jim Carrey being a big influence. Is there a off-season rabbit hole of, I don't know, man, dating shows, YouTube videos, animal attack videos,
nice.
Something that you just go.
I will get caught up on some reels. I know that.
Let's go.
I will scroll for days on reels, man.
Yeah.
They got me reeled in. All right. They, it's, It's, I mean, once you get a few good ones,
I know.
And then I just send them to everybody, and then that just creates, you know, oh, I saw this reel, and then they send a reel, and then it's just
they're in a fucking vortex.
Yeah, now 3 hours go by, and I'm still sitting on the toilet trying to. Did I wipe my ass?
You don't even know, but it's dried up. Nature just did its thing. Like, we got you, dude.
That's you disgusting.
Invested, yeah. That's amazing. There's some videos I see too. I really like. You know, my girl and I will get pretty invested in some cooking ones. Just, you know, there's a buddy of mine, him and his wife, have an Instagram and TikTok handle called Devour Power, where they just highlight these amazing New York eateries. And we went around with them on a few where it was like this place called, I think, 375 Chicken in New York. Mm. And, dude, it was a peanut butter and jelly fried chicken sandwich. And what they do is they just do a quick little open up, the unwrapping, which, you know, that's kids love the good. Unboxing. They open it up, show it pretty. Put it into the camera, take a bite, and then show the drip drip right back to the camera.
It's over. That's all it's you over. Need.
And that's all I need. And I'm like, I got to fly there right now. Are you a cook? Do you like to cook for yourself?
I you did in college. Kumar.
Yeah.
I got, my nutritionist, my chef,
yeah.
Ku, has been
killing it.
He's been killing it, man. He's unbelievable, man. Another
built-in just luxury to have a homie that does that. And you're like, can you just do it with me? And
just
me?
A homie, yeah. Every single day, it's just shit. Like we're kicking it. Yeah, it's like we're not even really working. Is that how it works?
He's like, what do you want today?
No, not even. It's whatever he feels is right for the day. So he knows a certain amount of calories, a certain amount of, you know, vegetable intake, carb intake, and all that kind of stuff. And he'll get it down to a science, and he'll just make sure that I got everything. And it's typically for the work week. I mean, when you go out on an away game, you know, obviously I'm not taking meals with me or anything like that. But, during the week, man, I think a lot of it has definitely helped me become a better athlete just in terms of my body, but also, you know, keep me on the field, man. A lot of what you put into your body is what makes you. So it just is what it is, man. And I think me taking that leap and asking him to come in and be my nutritionist was
game changer,
man.
You said you did a little bit in high school. Is that what you're saying?
College. No, I cooked for myself in college, yeah. I used to post my pictures on Instagram thinking that it was like, man, this is – and I went back and looked. People I was like, I'm going to fucking delete this right the fuck now. This looks like rubber. Season it? Why did you put fruit in here like you cooked the fruit?
Nobody fruit, cares just, that you put, heated you, up a bowl of soup.
You heated up some soup and put fruit on the – what are you doing?
What are you doing, man?
Cooking.
Yeah. It's a delicacy. You don't even know, dude.
You don't even gotta get all of them.
You're just jealous that you don't have food followers.
Yeah.
It's like, no, dude. Those people aren't following you for that.
They had like 10 likes.
Yeah. A lot of like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's clearly chicken, and you're like, oh, boy.
That's my mom's version of
yeah,
chicken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's the move, is that like you always get those recipes passed down, whatever the word is. I just had a stroke.
Passed pop.
If, tough to have people come up to you? Do you even deal with the people that are like, yo, I drafted you on my fantasy team, like, fucking, let's go? Are you like all about it? Did you play fantasy yourself coming up before you got in the league? No.
I never got into the I tried to in baseball, and it just got overwhelming. I was just like, this is
that's a long
tough.
Haul.
Yeah.
I tried that once,
this
too.
This is tough.
Day four, I was like, I'm going outside. I got to get some sunlight and some human interaction.
Why is this guy picking a He's in AAA.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Why are they picking him?
Yeah. I did fantasy football once, and I asked my buddy, I go, what do you not – because it was too much watching my buddies that were invested too hard.
I mean, you can act like a GM and have to know everything about the entire league.
I picked up a buddy of mine, Mark Saratella. We're going to a comedy show, and I pick him up.
I can see how guys can get invested in it, man.
Dude, he gets in the car. His mom was a little under the weather at this time, and he gets in the car, and he just goes – gets in just real just distraught, and I go, what's going on, man? He goes, I don't want to talk about it. We just go. I go, pull over. I go, dude, is it your mom? He goes, dude, can we just fucking go? I go, I'm not going anywhere until you tell me, man. Is there something up with your mom? What's going on? He goes, I lost in both my fantasy leagues today. And I go, get the fuck out of the car. I thought your mom was sick, you fucking asshole. I can't believe that's what you are this upset about. But also, I get it, because I'm like, you know,
Losing's losing, man.
Thank you, dude.
Losing's losing.
I got respect for it. But I picked a defense and a kicker first in the first time I did it. And just literally the threat of messages of, what the fuck? I did it for that because my buddy goes, don't do this. I go, I'm doing it.
Let's see, go the opposite way.
Yeah. There's definitely a big, it makes, I guess, the whole Sunday more fun to watch everybody.
There
but
you go, yeah. I personally don't really have a problem with it. I think it's just, it's funny at this point because I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of success, and obviously with that comes getting drafted higher.
Yep.
And stuff like that. So, I mean, and it's a way that I can have a personal connection with just a random person in North Carolina. I'll just walk by, and here they come.
Yeah.
Hey, are you? Yeah, man, I had you on my fantasy team last year, man. You heard of this. And then, dude, week 18 or week 16, dude, playoffs, man. You won me like $1,000. I'm like, nice.
Cool.
So it's like just like a cool little
motherfucker.
I'm out on that. I've played too many games for free, man.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll wrap this up.
We're good.
Okay, cool.
We're good.
Draft day. I skipped over that. Did you have a big party for that? Did you not want to make a big deal out of it? It was third round, right?
No, 63? I wanted to go to the draft, but I wasn't invited.
Oh shit! How does that work?
Well, you'd get the invite if they think you're going to be a high enough pick.
It's like you asking. So when did your folks split, Adam? Like, I'm sorry,
what was the worst time of your life?
I was 9. Thanks for asking, man. Yeah, tit for tat. It was when my mom. I found my mom worked for Love Bucket, and no. I was talking to her on the other one.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, not hot boobs.
Yeah.
hot boobs and witch hands. Oh man.
With witch hands.
Dang.
Good callback, dude. That's what I'm telling you, man. All right, so you get all the fam together.
Yeah.
If you can't go,
my agent hosted everybody out in Pittsburgh.
Dope.
Looked out for me, the friends and family that could make it, and we waited till the first pick in the third round.
Wow.
Let the name get called, man. I thought I was gonna go to the Jets early in the second round. They ended up taking Geno Smith, and. Like we said earlier, I had a few tight ends taken before me, so yep. I was a little butthurt.
Sure,
you learn to turn that into motivation real quick.
Yeah.
Who's
the first call that gets made to you, and who's the first call you make?
The first call was Andy Reid. I got a Missouri number. I've said this story a million times, and love it. It just is what it is. No, yeah. I get the call from Missouri, and I'm just like, I don't want to answer it, man. St. Louis is just, it's, I don't know, man. St. Louis looks like it's going to be tough.
Wow.
And it's just, I've saw a couple guys go to St. Louis from Cincinnati, didn't work out for them. And I'm just like, man, not St. Louis, man. I don't want to be a part of that. And I answered the call, and it's Andy Reid. And I'm just like, Andy Reid, that's not Jeff Fisher, anybody in St. Louis. And
he's like, I'm with Jeff Fisher. I'm going to hand him the phone real quick. You're like, damn it, Andy Reid, you fucking prankster.
Why would he do that?
Why would he do that?
Andy, Coach Reid actually is a pretty – he's got some good comedic timing.
I love that, dude.
He's awesome. But I get the call from him, and I'm excited. I go from like – it's like a roller coaster. I'm like at the bottom, like, what? It's Coach Reid? Sweet, man. Hey, Coach, how you doing? He's like, hey, are you going to fuck this up? I'm like, huh? He's like, you're gonna fuck this up? Like, no, I'm like scrambling at this point. I don't even know how to answer the question. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna fuck. No, I would never fuck anything up.
Wait, what are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah. I'm like, in my head, I'm just like, man, oh shit. And so I just start scrambling. No, I'm not about to fuck this up. I'm like, then in my mind, I'm like, oh, he's asking me if he picks me. Am I gonna fuck up like being a good draft pick?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be the best tight end you've ever coached. Or I promise you, I'm gonna go to work. All the nonsense about college and all that's in the past, man. I'm trying to get better. And he's like, all right, put your brother on the phone. I'm like, what? All right, here, Jason. It's like my uncle or my granddad just called me. Like, hey, put your brother on. I'm like, all right, here you go. He takes the phone and Jason. Couple nods, couple, yep, nope, I got you. Yep. Hands the phone right back. He's like, all right, I'm gonna need you to play now. I need you right now. I need you to play immediately. And yeah, we're gonna take you with the next pick. And I'm just like, this is really happening. All right, sweet, man. So so then you get passed to the marketing team or the PR team, and eventually they give you a number to call back, but to watch the TV and everything's with the family and everything. They give you like a good 10 minutes to just embrace, you know, what just happened with the family and everything, and then you just do an immediate interview with like the local markets.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man.
Do they have like a shot of you with just like a ticker below that says, Travis Kelce says, in quotes, I am not going to fuck this up. And everyone's like, what does that
they
mean?
Should have.
Like, I'll tell you later. It's attached to a question I got from a guy you know. Anyway, don't worry about it.
That's good shit.
Dude, that's an amazing story, dude.
Love that story.
You get goosebumps, man, talking about it? I did.
Nah, man, but right, it definitely made me happy, man.
That's that awesome, guy, man. I don't know.
I'm just glad he called me. Him and John Dorsey, man.
Change your life.
John Dorsey.
Yeah. That's incredible. Thanks for sharing that. So when I was 9, my dad left and said, no, I'm sorry. I was trying to give you a story for tit for tat right there. Let's go into the end of this podcast. And by the way, thanks for making time, dude.
Dude, are you kidding me?
Big time.
I've had a blast, man.
It was a lot of fun. You're a legend, dude. And I just, getting to meet you after the show was dope. And then the shoot was even cooler. And then, and this has been a blast. By the way, your charity 87 and Running, which I talked about in the shoot. Nice. You want to give it a quick shout out?
Yeah. And, shout out to 87 and Running, everybody involved. And then all the kids out over there in Operation Breakthrough, we team up with an unbelievable organization here. And everything has just been – it's been so cool to see these kids grow from when I first got here from almost first grade all the way through eighth grade. And to see them now go into this Ignition Lab, this 87 Running Ignition Lab for high school kids to be able to be, you know, whatever they want to be. And it's just going to be able to be at their disposal when they wouldn't have it otherwise. And I appreciate Kansas City, the community here, and everybody's been supportive, and you know, it's really changing these kids' lives.
Was that something that you were pretty headstrong about as soon as you got were able to make an impact somewhere?
Yeah, that's where it really happened. When I started to feel Kansas City accept who I am and want to like get to know more about me and stuff like that, I immediately just like, man, I want to do more for this community, man. And that's where it really started. I've always kind of had that ingrained in me through my parents and my family. The city I grew up in, everybody's parents raised all the kids, right? And so it wasn't just one household. It was a community upbringing. And although my parents instilled in me to be able to lend a helping hand to, you know, make sure my dad always had a pizza at the house. You know, if any of my friends were coming over, he made sure that everybody at least got a slice or got something to eat. Dope. You know, whether, you know, not assuming anything, just doing it just because, you know, he doesn't know, right? So it's just little stuff like that, I think, is kind of just ingrained in me and embedded in me to just always try and be there for the community, man.
Yeah, man. And you're such a big kid yourself, so it's like seeing with the
kids. Gotta be, man. Live young, baby.
So so they start at first grade and it takes them all the way?
No, so they start even early. They start in preschool at this organization, at Operation Breakthrough, which is it's a school, a daycare, an after-school program. It's everything, man. It provides meals to these kids' families. And it's all, I don't want to say, just less fortunate, yes, right? That's the best way.
It's all after. So it starts after school for the program, isn't it?
No, they have both in school and after school stuff. Wow. Yeah, and they bus kids from all over the city just to come here and get a advantage that they wouldn't have otherwise, right?
Yeah, man.
So it's just been cool to, I don't know, see these kids go from kindergarten to eighth grade, and the original Operation Breakthrough was only to eighth grade, and then once they got to high school, it's kind of like they didn't have any more space or
yeah.
So that's what the Ignition Lab that I was just mentioning, that it's going to be a STEM lab for literally anything you want to be. So once you get to high school, you can go into robotics, you can go into welding, you can go into anything. You can get your HVAC license in this thing as a high school kid, so that when you leave, you can go right into making a decent paying job and stuff like that.
Wow, dude.
It's just, there's so many different things that these kids are just getting the opportunities to grasp or to understand more knowledge about, and to see them go into eighth grade and finally have somewhere else to go That's what it's all about.
So you've seen a lot of these kids, like, and gotten to see their journeys and grow up and improve. And
for sure,
are they just so?
It blew my mind how fast kids can grow. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, man, am I growing at this rate still?
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Oh yeah.
This is nuts, man.
That's big time to have that much of an impact on that many lives, dude. And to at least steer people, you know, everyone's going to make their own choices, dude. But it's like everyone, and this is, I think, what binds us as people is like needs, I don't know if it's necessarily help, the word I'm looking for, but a boost in like, and the feeling that they got support, the people that are rooting for them, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you doing that for all these kids is like, you know, whether they, you know, get everything out of the program that they can get, knowing that there's somebody that's like, fucking get after it. Like, is getting it from about, somewhere. Man. Yeah. That's big time, dude. All right. We're going to close this sucker out with a little Inside the Actor Studio 10 questionnaire. Do you ever watch that show? James Lipton. Remember him?
Nah.
He was on Bravo. Was this guy.
Way better with faces, man. I'm the worst with names.
This guy was, he was the host of the show that basically interviewed, you know, all the big actors. Chappelle was on it. RIP, you would have been on it at some point, so I'm gonna do the last 10 questionnaire to close this sucker out. All right, as James Lipton, I'm here with Travis Kelce. Good to see you, Travis.
It's a pleasure. I feel like I have to match you now.
First of all, I love your shirt. I have the same shirt at home, even though I'm 75 years old.
You lived in that era, though.
Where'd you get your bling? Tie-dye. I did.
I got this from the homie Ben the Baller, man.
That's a Ben Baller original.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had friends with bling. Travis, what is your favorite word?
What?
Your favorite word. Do you know what words are, Travis?
I would say what.
What? Great.
What is my favorite word? You gain knowledge whenever you say it.
Dude, quietly the best answer I've ever heard to that fucking... Holy shit, dude. I think Matthew McConaughey said... Did he say pussies? No, he said like... what did he say? He said, you know, well, I think what... We have to break down what the mean... What word is. He said something really just out there. I was like, dude, pass that fucking joint. What is your least favorite word?
No. It's probably a common one, huh?
Nope. I haven't heard that. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for everyone right now. We're all challenged in finding a day-to-day routine that that makes our lives consistent and awesome. And if there's something that's interfering with your happiness right now or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service online, private, and it's so convenient. I've used it for a little bit now. It's truly the only way that I've found to help get my own issues dealt with on my own time at my own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your licensed professional counselor right now. They're specialized in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief or relationships, sleeping, which I have a lot of trouble with, trauma, self-esteem. Anything that you share with them is confidential. And guess what? If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge. There's 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states available worldwide. And again, there's four ways to communicate with them: text, chat, phone, and video. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's available on any desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Schedule a video or phone session, generally weekly, unless your therapist schedules more, unless you just are really not sleeping and need to get some additional chats in. There's broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, and above all, it's affordable, all right? It's truly the most affordable option I've found. So right now,
all ALN listeners are going to get 10% off your first month with a discount code AboutLastNight. So why not get started today and start making some changes for the better in your life? You deserve it. So go to BetterHelp.com/AboutLastNight. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's BetterHelp.com/AboutLastNight. BetterHelp.com/AboutLastNight. And get 10% off your first month with promo code AboutLastNight. And now, back to the episode. What turns you on?
No. I'm kidding. That was creepy.
Yeah. What turns you on? It doesn't have to be sexual. It can be like a...
Yeah, what gets the juices flowing.
Yeah, like a smile or like a laugh or like, you know...
Man, just some kindness. Nice iced coffee.
For real?
It gets me fired up, man.
That's your juice?
Yeah, nitro brew.
My man.
To be honest, man. Yeah. That, man, if I get that going...
A little bit of that in the veins.
I got a real bad story about taking nitro brew before a practice.
Please.
I get stuck on, first of all, I was wide awake for practice. It was 8 a.m. training camp day. And we go out there, we practice, and I'm feeling like, man, I'm just dehydrated. Of course, I had like unbelievable amounts of caffeine right before I went out there. And after the practice, I'm like, all right, man. Gotta take a shit. You know, coffee, the beans, right? So nitro. I catch a full body cramp on the shitter.
What?
Yeah,
full body cramp
on the shitter. I mean, I'm very hydrated guy. Like, yeah. There's one thing I'm gonna make sure I'm good.
fucking hydrated, dude.
I'm gonna make sure that I am hydrated, right? And that, I guess that one drink just put me into a full body cramp. And yeah, they had to put an IV in me.
Holy shit. While you were on the shitter still?
Yeah, no, I started like kind of crawling. I was like screaming at one of the coaches, I think it was his nephew or something like that, was walking by the restroom. And I was like, Brazier, go get the trainers. I'm cramping. And I'm like pissed. And he's frightened at this point.
Yeah.
Because he sees me like all like locked up. I'm like, Brazier. And it's like, it looks like a movie or something.
It's dripping. He's like, dude, all right.
He's like, man, what's going on? He's like, I think he's in high school maybe. He's just like, what the fuck is, what's going on with Travis? Yeah.
I wasn't
like,
really.
Brazier, go get the tram. Trainer!
I'm like, I wasn't screaming, told this trainer. Would be part of my job duties.
And it was like looking out that door, like you would see like him walk. It was, he walked to the training room, and then it was like within 2 seconds, walked that way, and then just eyeballs and like just frightened, just
terrified,
right back the other way. And I'm just like, what the? You didn't fucking tell him, trainer! I'm like screaming, trainer! I'm like, what the fuck did he just? Did he tell anybody? And they finally come in, and I'm just like, man, what the, did he even tell you? I was more pissed at him than I was at myself.
Killed
cramping.
The messenger.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
They threw a towel around me and
right back up. You got the juice inside you, and then you were
once I got the IV, I was fine.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, I just went straight to the shower after that.
Well, that's always good.
Yeah.
Getting a good shit followed by a good shower. I mean, I guess you got a cramp in between.
I sat in the poo for a little bit though. No one.
That's a humbling moment.
It was very humbling.
Come on, man. Yeah. You're like,
that's why I tell that story. You got to make sure everybody knows.
The stars are just like
it gets
us.
The worst.
They're sitting their own shit.
I got it real bad. I had a full body cramp after I just dropped a deuce on this.
If there was a picture taken, you know, in Us Weekly, they have those pages where it's like, look at Jerry Seinfeld getting a frappuccino. The stars are just like us. Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce lying in a pool of his own shit. The stars are just like us. They cramp and swim in their own day diarrhea.
Oh, man.
Dude.
We have no idea.
I'm glad you came out of that.
I've had some shitty times, man.
Good night, everybody. We'll be right back. Wait, that's... What's your favorite curse word?
Probably fuck.
Dude, thank you for hitting the F hard. I was just going to ask, are you a hard F guy or do you drag it out with the CK?
No, I'm just got to bring the energy early. You know what I mean?
Love that.
Fuck!
Yeah, dude. Yeah. A lot of power. What's your what sound or noise do you love?
Maybe that one? I don't know. What sound or noise do I like?
Let's take it to a...
I like... instrument, like horns. I like horns and string instruments.
Fuck yeah. Listen to that before you, like on game day or no? That's not your
pick-up. I got a little orchestra playlist that I know I don't know how to pronounce any of the songs.
Yeah.
So
of course,
but I just know like, oh, I like that one.
That sets the mood.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
What's
it's a little weird. Everybody says I'm a little weird for it, but
fuck no.
Whatever.
Having a classical playlist.
I love just way different, like the genre. I like to appreciate it all, man. Just find a way to grab a little bit of everything. Don't listen to much country, but I got a country playlist. Don't listen to much reggae. Got a reggae playlist, but you know, there's a time and a place for everything.
It's so funny. That's what I remember, that soundbite very specifically from when we talked to Jason at the Pro Bowl. He said same thing when I asked him about music, and he was like, "Dude, it's very eclectic." He's like, "I'm all over the place. A little bit of something
everywhere." I definitely share that with him for sure.
What sound or noise do you hate?
I hate background Instagram and stuff like that. Like when I'm just having a conversation and there's somebody over there on Instagram, I fucking hate that.
Just, yeah.
Fuck.
Just somebody cock blocking, dude, your serenity.
I'm just like, can you just turn it down, dude? Maybe?
How about on a plane?
Well, oh, that's what I'm, yeah, that's where I was going to
go next. Those people are, I mean, we could get a big plane full of the people who listen to music or TV shows without headphones on a plane and just be like, just take them to like an island and be like, you guys live here now. And they go, what? They go, listen to all the music with no headphones that you want, baby. It's called Fuck Off Island. Dude, I've been on planes. I saw a guy, no joke, with porn on a plane, no headphones. I'd gotten upgraded to first class, and I sit down, and I just hear halfway through the night flight, everyone's asleep. This is a bold move, Trav, to be like, dude, everyone's creepy. Asleep. No one's going to hear this. No one's going to wake up to the sound of a deep throat. Hey, I beg to differ, sir. I fucking
I know
did.
That. I know that.
That's my alarm clock, all right? Siri, set the deep throat alarm clock. No, so this guy, so I'm like, dude, passed out, and I just hear like, and I was like, literally woke up in like, you know what, that deep sleep where you have to remind yourself you're even on a plane sometimes?
Oh, for sure.
You like wake yourself up.
It's every time for me.
Yeah, dude. I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not in the middle sleep, because sometimes I aggressively like, and then the guy next to me is like, you good, man? And you're like, are you good?
Man, that was my favorite. I used to torment my dad doing that, man.
Waking up.
Oh, my dad.
Abruptly?
If he was napping, he would wake up. I would just do it just to get the reaction out of him, man. Well, I haven't seen him go crazy real quick. Hey, Dad! Ha! Ah! Huh? What a fucking idiot. Why?
Yeah, why? Why?
What? What do you need?
Jesus, fuck.
What do you need? You want dinner? I was like, yeah, just something.
That's
silly.
What you woke me up for? I'm not on fire? all right, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I mean, outside of a lot of other sports, outside of the sports world, I was ineligible my second year of high school to play football. So my dad, as a punishment, made me the trainer. So I was trainer Trav my entire 10th grade year of football. And I taped ankles and I taped wrist. I was spatting everybody, and I was
dope.
Yeah.
Just to keep you
handing
around
out water,
or just to go. This could
no. I think he just wanted me to have something to do after school.
Gotcha.
And to be around the team and be around everybody else. It was a fun year for me still, because I still got to hang around everybody. I was just the idiot that was holding them. You know what I mean? I'm not not to say that. God, that sounded bad. Not the idiot. That's
I hear
but
what
I was an idiot holding the water bottles.
There you go. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it was just.
Were you good at like? Did you get to be good at like recognizing certain injuries and like did that kind of as far as?
Yeah.
Like
so I ended up trying to be a kinesiology major at Cincinnati.
Dope.
And it's just the hours.
Yeah.
I already didn't want to go to school, so all the extra stuff that I had to do.
No thanks.
I was out, and I just didn't time up with football. But I did have a lot of fun doing that,
That's
though.
Awesome. What profession would you not like to do? What seems tough or just out of your realm of?
I don't know. I haven't heard of anything that I wouldn't want to do.
I mean, you said voiceover, which I think is definitely a career waiting in the wings, but you know, you say no. So
I have no idea what that realm even looks like.
Yeah,
so.
Dude, you will.
All right. Nice. There you go.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Just a nice, humbling welcome. You've made it. I didn't even think I was eligible. I'm allowed to go?
Man. But what about that thing? No.
Jesus took care of that.
Jesus took care of that. The cast from lovebucket.com is right over here if you'd like to. Oh, they're here? No, I'm just kidding. They're downstairs. fuck yeah, dude. Well, this was a fucking blast. I hope you had a good time.
It was a blast, man.
Yeah, man. Pumped for the season. Pumped to watch. Pumped to come to games, hopefully.
Yeah. Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
You're at Kill Trav, right, on Instagram?
Kill the Trav.
Yeah. You post some good shit. Do you post during the season or no?
Trying to get better at that. Content is more during the season than not during the season because I never take pictures or videos
right
in the off season. It's like I only just grab the stuff that's from the games. Or right.
They give you like highlight like stuff to be like, yo, post this if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've started to do that more often.
Cool.
Especially these past like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
As social media is starting to become so heavy.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see what you post. You're going to have a killer year.
My dog.
I'm pumped, dude. You're fucking feeling good. You're taking care of yourself. You're dialed in. You know? You got the fucking...
Just one day at a time, one game at a time, baby. That's all it is right there. I'm excited to see what you got next, man.
Thank you, brother. This is actually it. I retire from comedy after this. This is my last podcast.
This is the last one?
Yeah, I'm actually going to move to Shanghai and teach sign language to fat kids. So, guys, this is a bit... you're the man, Trav. I fucking love you, dog.
You're the man, dog. I love you, brother.
Thanks for coming, man.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Donald Faison.
And this is Zach Braff from Fake Doctors Real Friends. We are here to announce the second live version of the podcast. Live show 2, Live Harder. September 9th, it's a Thursday. It'll be 6 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. And Joelle's going to tell you where you go to buy tickets.
You're just going to go to onlocationlive.com/fakedoctorsrealfriends. We'll see you at the live show. Thanks, guys.